Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
He is not just a man about film. He is a man about all things pop culture, media, sports, a hopeless baseball romantic, and a guy who just knows things about things. Matt Miller joins us on this edition of the Zabe Cast. Hello, Mr. Miller.
Hello, general things knower.
I know things, and I am here to talk about them. So, I want to start with something that is a classic because of a guy we know and we worked for. We love this guy, but we gave him grief all the time. He is our fearless leader, Tim Scott, a.k.a. Red Hot Tim Scott, program director of 97.3 The Game for the period in which I was there. He was there before me, and he was let go literally an hour before I was. Okay. Red Hot had a reputation of winging stuff and of hustling and of saying, okay, I'm going to try to get this from here, that from there. And while I appreciated the fact he was hustling for us to do things, to get things, to go places, to be places, it was frustrating for many because his favorite phrase was, I'm working on it. So that then became the trademarked gold-plated phrase. I'm working on it. Now, he may not have been actively working on it. It might have just been wishware at the time. He might just been like dreaming, like, yeah, I'd like to do this, whatever. But he could always say, I'm working on it. Okay, fine. I say that because the Milwaukee Brewers, Matt Miller, have employed the mother of all we're working on it by announcing that they will not have an announcement on where to watch their baseball games until shortly before opening day, which is coming at us really, really quick. Wow.
That's how you build enthusiasm, is by telling people, like, any minute now, we're going to have a plan.
Don't worry. We got all your favorite broadcasters.
We're planning on a plan, baby. We're going to have
covering.
One.
We got Rock. We got Sophia. But we don't know where we're going to be or how you're going to get us or how much it's going to cost. But don't worry. We're working on it.
It does stress me out on some level. Beyond just the day-to-day being able to watch the Brewers, it worries me on like an existential level, because it reminds me of like when the world shut down and people couldn't go to movie theaters anymore. People got out of the habit of going to movie theaters and loving movie theaters, and that's part of the problem that Hollywood finds itself in right now. It's getting a little bit out of it, but still. And it worries me because the Brewers are a summer tradition in Milwaukee. For those who don't know the Milwaukee kind of sports economy, the ecosphere, you know, the Brewers are the background noise of summer. It is what you listen to. It is what you love. I think we're Packers country, yes, but there is something that the Brewers are always there. They're always that hum in the background that you love. And I get nervous that that investment will go away. That kind of love of the Brewers just being there by your side is going to go down if people don't know where to find them. If people don't have that, oh, it's right by my side thing. Yeah. And if people check out, if people are like, oh, I don't know where the game is, I guess I'll, you know, do the lawn instead, or I'll do hyperbole and other things. Do they care less about the Brewers? And do the Brewers become less of a thing Milwaukee is like, man, this is something we love? I don't think that would happen, but I do love to spiral. I do love to do an existential doom spiral.
Well, listen, how do things fall apart, Miller? Slowly at first, and then all of a sudden at the end. And I hope it won't lead to the all of a sudden at the end. They're going to have a streaming partner and a package. Mm-hmm. They say that there's going to be a monthly option, $19.99. per month to stream the Brewers on various devices, phone, iPad, your TV, smart TV, whatever. As far as the cable or satellite options, they said they'll announce it Thursday, the same day they open the season by hosting the Chicago White Sox.
So close to, it's so funny to be like, and they're hosting the Chicago, the other ones, the White Sox, the irrelevant ones. Right. Sorry to the White Sox fans out there.
So here's the deal. I think $100 for the season, which is what it essentially is, April, May, June, July, August, right? That's $100 for the season to watch the game wherever you want, including on this thing right here in my hand. I think that is a fair price. You'd be shocked.
I don't know if Wisconsin would agree.
Yeah, you would be shocked to hear how many people think it's outrageous. I'm not paying a dime. How dare they? To which I go, well, what would be a fair price? Because, you know, the long ago days of the rest of cable TV subsidizing sports, they gone. Okay? It is what it is.
Yeah, and Milwaukee is infamously one of the smallest, if not the smallest market in MLB, mm-hmm. you know, so there's money to be made. There is an audience to be had. I'm sure there is something coming together. But, you know, again, Wisconsinites can be a thrifty folk, and we certainly don't love paying for things that we previously were getting for free. We can be, you know, right. I don't think that's an exclusively Wisconsin thing, but Wisconsin is very much that way. So
at one point, if you had a satellite or if you had a cable TV package, it included the Brewers home network, which has changed names and titles over the years.
It's like, right? Wisconsin Sports Network, Fox Sports Wisconsin. Yeah. Right.
And I believe it had to sit, Miller, at a higher tier of subscription than just your basic. So yeah, you were already essentially paying for it because you had like the $119 a month tier for all your cable, right? I'm just hypothetically throwing a price out there. So you didn't see that you were paying for it. In part because other people who don't like the Brewers or baseball were subsidizing it because they got that tier for something else. Channels B, C, D, and E.
Exactly. You were probably getting ESPN and some of those other kind of niche, your NBC sports networks and stuff like that. But now everyone is so much more aware of their entertainment and their cable bill because of how many weird, like, extraneous limbs that it has now. You know, yes. Not only do you have your cable bill, but you have your Netflix bill, and you have your HBO Max bill, or you have your Paramount Plus bill, and all of a sudden you're a lot more hyper aware of how nasty, how much money you're putting towards, you know, a lot of channels you're not using. And I got to say, like, I've been a real asshole to Rob Manfred, and I've given him credit where credit is due as well. Right. And this is a being an asshole to Rob Manfred moment, because Rob, we need you. Like, baseball needs you right now. And it's getting really like, you are the commissioner of this league. And right now it is getting fractured in a lot of these markets on how you're supposed to watch the teams you love.
Brother, I'm
sad.
And
what is the most important?
I'm sad to break this to you. You're asking for Batman. You're begging for the bat signal. Rob Manfred is Joker sitting in Batman's lair, smoking a cigar and laughing. He ain't the solution. He's working for the owners. He's desperately trying to turn a ship around that had been fueled by regional cable networks, right? And a lot of money. They allowed salaries for pitchers to go into the bazillion sphere of $50 million a year. And now that's drying up. That puddle's drying up, so they got to create something else. I don't know. I think it's a fair price. Imagine paying $20 a month to watch a shitty team. Like, here in Washington, Nats fans, the committed ones, as they gird for another 100-loss season, letting the young guys develop, and we're going to build this the right way, you're going to pay $20 a month if you get one of their plans to see a really bad team.
Yeah. And it is that tricky thing of, you know, the Brewers are not a team that you look at on paper and you're like, boom, contender, baby. There's always a trepidation with the Brewers each season because realistically, they've gotten very lucky these past several years. You know, they've been very young. They've been relying on a lot of kind of, we'll see how this guy does turning out, and a lot of hidden gems. Andrew Vaughn last year, famously, like a lot of these pitchers that they find off the scrap heap and turn into, you know, genuine starting pitchers. And there's always this little itch in the back of, I think, Brewers fans' heads of like, how long can you do this? Like, how long can you be not good on paper, but good on the field?
Yeah.
Especially with the league change, especially when you've got, you know, the Dodgers and the Cubs and the Mets, who are just like throwing as much cash as possible at all of their problems. And the Brewers are like, we sure hope Jesus Made is the great savior that we think he is. Question mark.
You mean Jesus Made? I love that name.
One of
Jesus Made. M-A-D-E. What are you? Brother, I am Jesus Made. I am dipped in the rivers of righteousness.
That's so, actually his middle name, Jesus dipped in the rivers of righteousness made.
Right. I'm made in the image and love of Jesus Christ. Can't do me no harm. So, yeah, well, we'll see how the season goes. Begins way too soon, Thursday, right opposite the first set of games in the Sweet 16. Now, Mr. Miller, here's a quarter in your jukebox. March Madness, ka-chink, go.
I'm really trying to be positive here. I feel like Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction, where it's like, I'm trying to see the light. I'm trying to be the shepherd.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to be positive and to think to myself, listen, I know this is the first time in March Madness history that all four top four seeds moved on to the second round. That this is the first time in back-to-back, in first time back in back-to-back tournaments.
I did not know that.
Yeah. This is the first time. There's been years where a 13 through 16 seed has gone without a win. This is the first time that we've had back-to-back seasons where the 13 through 16 seeds have gone 0-for, that have all lost.
Hold on. I thought you said that this was another year where all four top seeds advanced.
Pardon me. I mean out of the first round, not to the Sweet 16.
Out of the first round. Okay.
Yeah, out of the first round. Normally, a 13 through 16 seed, one of them cracks through. Hasn't happened for two straight years. That hasn't happened in the history of 13 through 16 seeds existing in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
This is one of the lowest amount of upsets we've had in an NCAA tournament since 2000. You know, this is two straight years of it. We only had four first round upsets, and I am including upsets as I define them as a double digit seed moving on.
Okay.
In terms of first round talk. And this year, we only had four. Since 2000, that is the lowest beyond 2004, 2000, and 2007. and obviously 2020, nobody moved on because nobody played basketball.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to be like, maybe this is a blip. Maybe this is just a weird extended desert that March Madness is going through. It's not like teams weren't close. It's not like Siena didn't give Duke a real hard time, that Santa Clara wasn't a buzzer beater away from beating a blue blood like Kentucky. But then I'm like, oh boy, the only Cinderella we have this year is Texas, an SEC school with the like top five, you know, spending. That is what we have to grip onto as the cute underdog story of March Madness. For a second straight year, this is the gruel that March Madness has given us.
Cinderella is a trust fund daughter who's already had $100,000 of plastic surgery before her 23rd birthday. That's your Cinderella right there. Not exactly a feel-good story. Well, look, the whole tournament is hardening into a tyranny of the bigs and the elites and the money, more importantly, like a bowl of Jell-O in the fridge. It's getting hard. I don't know if there's any reversing it. My feeling is there isn't. So then we have to figure out how we're going to get our fix of what made this tournament magic going forward. And I'm not sure how we do that.
Yeah. And again, maybe this is a phase. You know, it was just a few years ago, Farley Dickinson happened. It was just a few years ago, we got Oakland. You know,
NIL spending and the now the ability to give $20 million a year legally to the players, football and basketball, is only a year old. So you can say it was only 2 years ago. But the game done changed, Miller. It done changed in a big damn way.
And the conference-ization, the conference braining of college sports that, you know, only if you are in one of the select clubs should your team merit consideration, and the self-fulfilling prophecy of the analytics that go into a lot of these things, you know, it kills. I see that starting to brew up. And, you know, the Texas thing, it's a fun joke that her one Cinderella this year is the New York Yankees of college sports. But that's the kind of stuff that I'm sure the NCAA is like, I don't see the problem here. This is great. And this gives us absolutely wonderful excuses next year to when we're deciding between a Miami, Ohio or a Stetson or, a, you know, some random Big South school that went on a heater and only lost three games. But one of those games was the semifinal. You know, do we put them in the tournament or do we put in the 18-14, you know, Northwestern school? Yeah. Do we put in the Texas A&M that barely squeaked by 500 this entire year? And a year like this tells them, yeah, go for it. Put in the SEC school. Put in the ACC school. The Stetsons, what will the Stetsons get you? What will the UNC Wilmingtons get you? That makes the higher-ups, that makes the money happy, but that makes the sports lovers, the people who want to see memorable stuff, who want to see the St. Peters of the world, we are going to have to feed on drips and drabs of Cinderella.
The power schools own the castle, and they're throwing the ball. And their feeling is, Cinderella, she's a bitch. Fuck her. She's not invited. That's literally how they feel. It's their ball. They don't care.
Yeah, the way Painter and the Alabama head coach were talking about High Point in Miami, Ohio, being like, hey, we would like to play good schools. Like, we would like to play. We would like if our strength of schedule wasn't ass. And they're all like, well, you're ass. Shut up. And like, that's basically their response.
It was. Yeah, Painter body bagged Miami. He said, look, you've been shit in your little conference. We play the better teams in your conference. We played Akron this year. You know, so he went right at him.
But it's a self-fulfilling cycle. And it's similar to like the Boise State UCF college football era from this outsider's perspective, where it was like Boise State and UCF would be like, no one wants to play us because if you win, you don't gain anything. And if you lose everything. And so they kept getting in this circle where it was like, oh, they went undefeated. But who'd they play? Well, no one wanted to play them. So like it's this perfect cycle of like, well, you'll never get up top because we're never going to get you the opportunity to be up top.
Yeah. Well, here's the real, I mean, look, this is happening everywhere. Every school is desperate for a billionaire. a billionaire that loves them, that wants mm-hmm. to make their good old alma mater great. This is what happened with St. John's. Mike Repol of Powerade, or no, not Powerade, of what's his beverage business? Smart Water? No, Vitamin Water.
Vitamin Water, yeah.
Guy's a big St. John's guy. He's like, fuck it. I have $2 billion, three maybe. What's 50 million?
Yeah.
Billions, 1,000 million. Do I have 50 out of 1,000? Yeah, I do. And he's loving it right now. And it's happening all over. And, for example, UVA. UVA should be in the middle of an absolute hell of a hangover. They should be wandering the desert for a long time. This is a school with a very high academic standard to meet, which is bolstered by this strict honor code. So it's hard to get in the kind of athletes you need to really win. They just watched Tony Bennett walk out the door because he didn't want to compete in this new world. He ran a very antiquated system where they were happy to win games in the low 50s. So they had to retool the whole factory to not play games in the 50s, find a new coach who was as good as the old guy. They should suck for a long time, but oh, they got good. Why is that? Because Alexis Ohanian, who happens to be Serena Williams' husband, who also happened to have founded Reddit, and who also happens to be a billionaire himself, said, hey, I went to Virginia. I want us to be good. So here the money gun goes. And UVA's back up again. They're like, okay.
I mean, it's so weird seeing, like, yeah, Texas Tech.
You're going to need this.
Yeah, Texas. It's so weird as somebody who grew up watching Texas Tech be, like, the ultimate 7-5 team. Like, Texas Tech was forever, like, the Insight Bowl champion or, like, you know, whatever random December bowl game in college football. And, like, that was where Bob Knight went for a while and, like, kind of did okay, I guess, as a coach. And now it's like, oh God, Texas Tech, a behemoth. And it's like, these guys, this place? It's so weird. It's like all of a sudden if Burger King became, like, the hottest fast food place, and you're just like, Burger King, huh? Perennial fourth place? Weird.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is, you know, you can't buy a college basketball team or football team yet. That day may come. You can't actually buy it like an NFL team. But the next closest thing is to be the billionaire sugar daddy and go along for the ride at the highest levels, to be right in there, to be able to have a say on here's who we should get as coach. Believe me, it was Repol who said we're getting fucking Patino, because there probably was some people going, you know, you fucked a booster in a restaurant booth. Like, ew. You know, he had recruits with hookers at Louisville. And Repol, well, like, he goes, Patino's the man and my money is attached to him. Figure it out.
If you want to win a national championship for exactly 10 years until the NCAA revokes it out of existence, Rick Pitino's your guy.
He's your guy. Well, the sadder thing is that everything in college sports is being optimized now for profit and success. Mm-hmm. And optimization in any endeavor in life is good for the consumer at the end of the line when it comes to prices of goods or whatever. But it's bad for creativity. It's bad for things being organic and joyful and natural. And a prime example of optimization is in the movie business, which I'm going to pivot to now, because my daughter was all excited. The trailer for the live-action Moana just dropped. And let me tell you, my first thought was, wait a minute, Moana? Didn't we just have a sequel to Moana? And the answer is, yes, we did. Moana 2 came out in a very short span from the first Moana, and it killed the box office. Tons and tons of money. They did research on this. I sent you the tweet. They're like, hey, boss, let me tell you, kids out there and the parents, they love that Moana. They can't get enough Moana. And so basically they decided this Moana live action, which was going to be a TV series, they pivoted and made it a movie, and now it's going to make $1 trillion, and you say it's going to suck.
I think that, yeah, I just want to check the details, and I may be wrong on this. So, yeah, Moana comes out in 2016. hit movie. Not like the you know, crazy hit, but like really, really successful solid movie. But it totally kills on Disney Plus afterwards. Like, that is a movie that just kept growing and growing and growing and growing and became this beloved, you know, absolutely beloved family movie, especially when pandemic hits and Disney Plus shows up. Moana was the one they went to. It was one that new parents loved and that they wanted to share with their kids. So I believe it was Moana 2 that was the TV show originally.
Well, yeah, here it is. I got the tweet right here. The streaming explosion is why Moana 2, originally intended as a Disney Plus TV series, was rerouted to theaters. Bob Iger made the call in February of 2024. It went on to gross $1 billion worldwide on a mere TV show budget. Deadline pegged the net profit at $415 million, making it the second most profitable film of 2024. And I saw it, or I saw two-thirds of it with a nap in the middle with my daughter, Catherine, who loved it. Of course, she always does. And my general feeling was it sucked and was basically the same as the first one.
It's pretty bad. And you can kind of tell that it was a TV show because it's very kind of chunky and episodic in terms of like, at this half of the movie, we have to find this person. And this is relevant because we don't really know. And this part of the movie, like this part, it just feels, you can kind of see the seams and you can tell that the composer budget and the music budget was less because the first movie has, you know, How Far I'll Go and You're Welcome and Shiny and all these beloved songs for millennials and Gen Zers.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yep. And then the sequel has absolutely no music. That I could not name you a song in that movie. And no one could. That the songs are truly a waste of space in that movie.
Right.
So but here's, now they're doing this live action one because they are, you know, eating their tail extremely fast at Disney because they're realizing no one wants to see the live action old movies. They learned that from Snow White. They learned that from Pete's Dragon and Dumbo. And they're like, okay, Moana, can we run Moana back already?
I would argue that they could have made money on the live action Snow White, but they chose the wrong actress who shot the movie in the foot by running her mouth.
Well, two of them. You and picked Gal Gadot at a time when everyone was starting to realize the bloom was off the rose, and Gal Gadot is not a very good actress. She's got one thing she can do pretty well, and Evil Queen was not one of them.
Right.
You had the Rachel Zegler thing, which turned into this massive online thing, and I think it turned into a Ghostbusters live act, the women Ghostbusters situation,
where
your average viewer was like, this movie seems like it's going to be a lot of work, and I'm going to have to like defend my opinion on it, and that's not why I go to movies, so I'm just not going to bother with it.
Yeah, but it also made amendments to the original story based out of political correctness that were just dumb, you know, to not cast actual dwarves in the movie was dumb.
I don't know what you're talking about. I thought those CGI abominations were great. I thought those nightmare monsters that were supposed to be charming warmed my heart. Don't know what you're talking about. Right.
But anyway, so here's the optimization at work. Disney, using the data on their streaming, realizes that Moana's demand outstrips everything they've got in their whole vault, 1.4 billion hours streamed.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? They're going to order more Moana. Whether or not they need it or want it or not, it makes money. People want it. We're optimizing for profit. Mm-hmm. The problem is movies are art, and it was once art that could be profitable, but it required the good movies to subsidize the duds as directors and creative people said, hey, let's try this. And they would throw stuff at the wall and some would hit and others would flop. And they just went that way because that's how you had to do it. The data now and the streaming allows you to optimize for known proven commodities and audiences. So they're making more money, but the stuff is shittier.
Yes. Or in a lot of cases, it's just literally the same thing you saw before.
Yes.
I mean, How to Train Your Dragon just came out last year, which is literally just the animated movie, the original animated one from 2010, with pretty much almost no changes made to it in live action. And that's a best case scenario. And what's the point? You know, like, we have this gorgeous, beautifully animated movie with these beautifully animated faces, animated literally in, like, you know, they show excitement. They show something new. You know, it's this defeating thing where these movies were made for animation. So you see The Lion King and you have these big moments of emotion and you see these talking animals with their big colorful faces and you're like, wow, what a fun, energetic, exciting story. And then somebody's like, what if it was more realistic? And you end up looking at dead-faced animals who have no facial expressions that are still trying to sell you this drama. And you're like, why is this so boring? Why does everything look brown and sludgy?
Right.
And I think that's what you're going to get with this Moana thing where, you know, Maui, the Rock's character, who's such a big, fun, charming character in Moana, now just looks like the Rock in a bad wig. And
I think a bodysuit because he's puffed up to very buff proportions. Have you seen the Rock lately?
And he's a big guy still.
Okay, I'm going to send you some pictures. He has slimmed way down. Apparently, even The Rock is on Ozempic. Everyone in Hollywood is.
More of a pebble at this point?
I mean, maybe more of a pebble. Small stone for The Rock right there.
Yeah. I think realistically, it's probably because the idea of having to hand paint all of the tattoos or to apply those tattoos every time they were shooting probably seemed too crazy. So they probably had a bodysuit with all of the tattoos and some of the green screen stuff on there. So that way it was a lot of an easier situation because you look at these Disney live action remakes and they look cheap. You know, they look like the worlds that they take place in look crappily animated. They look dark. They look like, you know, they look like, you know, AI created movies on a lot of levels. Yeah. And Disney doesn't care because these things print money. Lion King made $1 billion and no one has talked about that 2019 remake except to say it sucks. You know, Lilo and Stitch last year, live action remake that most people thought also sucked, made $1 billion, if not $1 billion, damn near close. How to Train Your Dragon, one of the 10 highest grossing movies last year. There's people who are like, no, audiences want new things and they want to see different things. And in some cases, that's true. They want a Project Hail Mary and an Oppenheimer and a Send Help and some of these newer things, a Hoppers or a Goat. But they also want to see exactly the same thing they saw before. There's a reason why McDonald's and Applebee's and Chili's do well. People like regularity.
How to Train Your Dragon. Bitch, I thought we trained that dragon. What are we doing?
That's the title for the sequel. That's How to Train Your Dragon 2. Bitch, I thought we trained that dragon.
I thought we trained this dragon. All right, so look, I'm almost 57 years old now. In fact, almost 58. And I've been feeling more and more of it every day. You know what I'm talking about. Things that used to be easy just, well, aren't anymore. The energy is not quite like it used to be. Recovery takes longer. Nobody really talks about this stuff. We don't want to. But here's the reality. Most men start losing testosterone around age 30 at about 1% every year. Do the math. By the time you hit my age, well, it's added up. That's why I just started taking Mars Men. MARS Men. Here's what got me interested. Your body actually makes testosterone, but a lot of it gets locked up by this protein called SHBG. It's like having money in the bank, but your debit card doesn't work. Mars Men is designed to help free that locked testosterone so your body can actually use it. No synthetics, no needles, just 8 natural, clinically dosed ingredients like Tongkat Ali, Shilajit, vitamin D, and zinc. Now look, I'm still early in, but I'm feeling good right now, and I know this. It's made in the USA, third-party tested, and they offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. You can't go wrong with that. I'm the king of returns, right? Over 91% of users report higher energy levels, and the reviews are legit. You can check them out yourself. For a limited time, my listeners will get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and 3 free gifts when you check out. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support the show and the Zabecast by telling them I sent you.
You care about helping others learn and grow. And now you can make an even greater difference. The Ohio State University's fully online master's in applied behavior analysis prepares you to help learners with disabilities thrive. you'll develop the skills to use evidence-based interventions that enhance learning outcomes and foster independence, all in a flexible format designed for working professionals. With growing demand for board-certified behavior analysts, this online program helps you prepare for what's next without pausing your life. If you're ready to expand your impact, Ohio State is ready to support your next step. Visit go.osu.edu/behavioranalysis.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to give you this right now. You ready to see Dwayne The Rock Johnson now? Take a look at that.
Oh, there's so little of him.
I told you, he might
he
be
closer like he's been to juiced a and not like juiced like steroids, like someone wrung him out.
I mean, the angularity of the face and now the sunken eyes. I mean, it's just absurd. Why would you go from this, and I know people listening and not watching right now, I apologize. I'm pointing at, with my pointer here on the screen, his buff, awesome physique, to that? Why? I don't get it.
It might be, I know he's doing another movie with the guy he worked with on the Smashing Machine, the Safdie. I think it was Josh Safdie. I think he's doing another movie that's kind of like a Hawaiian crime something or other. So he may be doing some changes for that. Like he clearly wanted to go for the Oscar this year. The Oscars were like, pass, no thanks. So he may be, you know, it's clear he wants the Oscar. He wants that award kind of validation. So he might be doing the Christian Bale body, you know, changing things up there, but we'll see. Cause they also postponed the Jumanji movie. So I don't know if that's because I know, not Jumanji 3.
I was so looking forward to that. You know, I love board game movies. You know, anytime you can take a board game and make it a movie, Miller, I'm like, let's go.
Have like, you ever played Chutes and Ladders and thought to yourself, what's the lore of the chutes and the ladders?
The backstory of this stuff. Okay, so there's a movie that is out now and has been getting a lot of positive reviews. But at first I thought, hold on a second. Am I getting spammed by paid influencers for this movie? I have been getting all these tweets talking about how great Project Hail Mary is. And I quickly rolled my eyes and said, oh God, you mean the movie with the rock creature named Rocky that helps the school teacher, who's the only one who can figure out how to save Earth, as their Hail Mary in outer space, yada yada yada. I'm like, this is getting put, like, I was having seen so many posts, and then I saw some posts from people that I was like, I'm not sure this person's a paid influencer, and they're saying how great the movie is. You then tell me today, before we started, it is a really good movie. Talk to me.
Yeah, and I'm on the low end of the movie where, like, I have my issues with Project Hail Mary, but it is a pretty objectively great time at the movies. It is, for those who don't know, this is the new Ryan Gosling space movie. Like you said, guy goes to space trying to save the Earth from cataclysm, meets a rock alien.
He's a teacher.
He's not a teacher, a
scientist for NASA.
Yeah, he's got a background in the stuff that they need, so he gets on. He ends up getting on the flight. He doesn't know why. He wakes up in space. He doesn't know who he is. And it's really good. It's from Lord and Miller, Phil Lord, and I don't know the other guy's first name, Chris Miller. Okay. And these guys are, their shtick is that they make good movies out of terrible ideas. That's really? Always been their thing with Hollywood. Their first movies were the Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs movie, which, if you've read the book, there's no plot to it. It's just, what if fruits and vegetables fell from the sky? And they turned it into this really fun, zany animated movie. Then they made the Lego, they made 21 Jump Street, which, again, everyone was like, why would you make a movie out of 21 Jump Street? No one really likes that show. No one's watching that show. What are we doing here? Turns into a massive hit, is one of the great modern action comedies. They do the Lego movie. Again, everyone's like, why are you doing a movie about Legos? This is the most shameless corporate bullshit we've ever seen. Movie comes out, absolutely charming, a tribute to imagination, totally has its cake and eats it in terms of selling me Legos.
It was brilliant, the Lego movie. Only funny as shit, I was laughing in the first 5 minutes at the jokes with Emmett and everything else, and the silly songs and the running gags, like, where's my pants?
The speed of the jokes. I love how much that those dudes are just like relentless and being like, here's jokes, we are making a comedy, we are going to make you laugh,
right? But then at the end they pull the chair out from under you with the emotional close with President Business being the kid's dad, played by Will Ferrell, who himself wants to build Lego things because he's an adult child, but he's got rules, and he glues the Legos together. The Craggle. The Craggle was the crazy glue. His dad is like, this is how I play. I build the Legos the way they're supposed to be built, and I glue them together. And the kid was like, no, I want to make all these creative things. And so when you vortexed out of the Lego universe into the real world and realized, oh shit, President Business, the bad guy, is dad. Fuck. I cried.
Yeah.
I cried.
And again, should be the most cynical Hollywood thing ever, of making a movie of Legos and being like, this is just product placement, the movie, and we can get all of the Warner Brothers brands into the movie too. Right. And somehow the movie plays incredible. So then they do a sequel to 21 Jump Street.
By the way,
Jesus Christ.
The Lego movie was the way they had Batman, played by Will Arnett, who was just,
so good.
See you, losers. Like, he had no interest in being part of the heroic journey. Save everyone. He was just trying to get the girl.
Have you seen the Lego Batman movie too?
Yes. Oh yeah, I've seen that.
It's so funny. It's one of Batman movies, just period, straight up.
Or really, really dark gray.
Harvard for cops. 22 Jump Street comes out, somehow is equally good, if not better in some cases, than 21 Jump Street. Also really good. Then they try to make Solo. They try to make the Han Solo movie. They get fired off of the Han Solo movie.
No. And then,
yeah. Turns into a big disaster. Yeah. Pardon?
Midway through they got fired?
Like two-thirds of the way through. Like,
do you think it was going to be good if they were allowed to finish?
I think it would have been better than what we got, which was really kind of bland and generic and kind of what you kind of feared a Han Solo movie might turn out to be, which is like Easter egg central and a pretty boring journey. Yeah. So these guys haven't really been directing much since that happened. They piloted the animated Spider-Man movies, which are low-key some of the most, I would say, influential movies of the past decade, because that brings the multiverse into regular pop culture conversation. And again, was a bad idea on paper, that everyone was like, you're rebooting Spider-Man with live action with Tom Holland, and you're going to do an animated one too with a different Spider-Man? This is going to be a terrible idea.
With a black kid who was Spider-Man?
Yeah, with Miles Morales. And everyone's like, you're going to like, and it's animated in this weird style that everyone was like, I don't know what to make of this. Ends up being two of the best animated movies the past 10 years.
As I like to call that movie, Into the Seizureverse. Because holy shit. Like, if you have any kind of light sensitivity or eyeball sensitivity, don't even think about that movie. It assaults your rods and cones.
They do really make movies for young attention spans. And I don't mean no, that entirely well. Derogatory, but like yeah. all of their movies are like things happening, yeah. happening. Now the time for timeout. We got more shit to throw at you.
I literally believe they had a warning on there saying, if you're prone to seizures, this movie's probably not for you, because it had a lot of very bright animation flying right at you.
Oh, 100%. Right. I think that's 100% true. So yeah, so they do Project Hail Mary, which mm-hmm. also... on paper, seems like a bad idea. This is an expensive movie. This is a $200 million space movie that's going to require crazy effects, that only really has a star or two, really only has Ryan Gosling and a rock friend, and is this combination of space, like all this hard science, but also this cute little friendship, and you have to balance all this stuff, and it's this long journey, and how do you explain all of this in a movie? And I think for the most part, they pull it off. I think maybe their lighthearted sensibility gets in the way of like the drama that the movie wants to sure. do, that there's a lot of oxygen to be used in that movie, and the drama doesn't get as much as the quippiness of it. But it's just a really, really fun time. And it's the kind of movie that you go to and you're like, yeah, this cost $200 million. I can tell this looks incredible. Like,
there's a lot of practical effects, meaning very little CGI.
Very much. Rocky is mostly a puppet. The rock friend is wow. mostly puppeteering, which is insane, because you watch the movie and you almost watch the movie and you're like, well, they just found a very talented rock actor. And like, they just, at no point watching the movie are you like, wow, this is fake. Wow, they green screen that. You're like, okay, so they sent Ryan Gosling light years away in space and they found a cute little rock friend who was a great actor. And he learned his lines.
He nailed it. He's going to be the rock version of Macaulay Culkin. Hopefully yeah. he'll go off the deep end with drugs. But at the heart of it, though, you have to have the tried and true movie theme of the everyman pinched into duty mm-hmm. to save everyone. I call it the who me meme of movies. The guy, the iconic viral video of the kid in the green girl dad or son of a boy dad shirt pointing to himself, Corona in hand, like, what? Me?
Who me?
Who me? Because he was this video, the kid was watching the draft and then heard his name get called. And he was like, wait, what? And then he has to go in the other room to like talk to his mom, who calls him saying, you just got drafted in the NFL. He's like, I don't want to play in the NFL. I'm going to get killed.
Wonder if the author of Project Hail Mary saw that and was like, that'd be a really good idea for a sci-fi book.
It's such a good video, though.
Yeah. And
the name of this guy.
Yeah. But the movie's really good. It's going to be like a classic school science movie where like the science teacher, when he wants a day off, is going to put this movie on and the class is going to be excited to watch it. Like it is a really, really enjoyable Hollywood movie. And what's really exciting is that it made money.
Thank
that it opened
God
this past weekend, made $80 million in America, I think 140 worldwide total. And obviously the movie cost a ton of money. Probably has to make $500 million to break even using Hollywood math. But it's off to a great start, and it's got great legs in terms of box Good. Office because, Good. You know, people, audiences are loving it.
And because it's an outer space adventure, it is properly seen on the big screen.
Yes, this is a big screen movie.
Own or your TV. Get your ass to the movies and spend the money and don't complain about the cost of popcorn like my wife did the other day. And I said, honey, one day you'll be begging to pay $12 for a bucket of popcorn. There won't be any place to buy the popcorn. Like, this is the only way exhibitors make money is on the popcorn.
They don't make their money at the ticket stand.
That is true. All right. So last thing today.
Can I throw one more thing in here too about why I'm happy about Project Hail Mary?
Yeah.
So this is an Amazon movie. This is an Amazon MGM production.
Amazon Studios, MGM Co. project.
Yes. And they've been very wishy-washy on their commitment to being a theatrical release. They started doing a lot of theaters.
Wishy.
And then they bailed on it. And then they came back a little bit. But they still are being a little like, okay, we made this Madden movie. That's going to go straight to Prime. Oh, we made this Mark Wahlberg comedy, the balls up one that you've been seeing ads for. That's going straight to Prime. And I think something like this, you know, a movie like Project Hail Mary making a ton of money, being an incredible opening weekend for a non-franchise movie that's going to have legs, that's probably going to make its money back and then some, you know, hopefully something like this is like, hey, we should do this more often. Like we shouldn't bail from this and just dump our stuff for free basically on Prime Video.
That would be great.
Because we need more of these studios to commit to the theaters if these places are going to survive, because we're running out of major studios. I mean, Warner Brothers and Paramount are about to become Warner Mount or Warner Parabros.
Brothers Parabros.
And so like there's not, and you need these big studios because little independent movies can't keep, you know, 4,000 screens, you know, week.
No, you don't.
So hopefully something like this helps and encourages them to keep doing this and encourage Apple to keep doing this and maybe Netflix getting into it. We'll see.
All right. Lastly, real quick. I know for years I've pitched you as if you're a studio executive on my 9/11 time travel movie. And
it's the worst part of my life. Yes.
I'll be honest that, you know, I feel like you're lukewarm to the idea, but I'm going to keep pitching it. I've got some stars lined up that could be committed to the project. I think with the right screenwriter, I think we could do something with it, but I have another movie I'd like to pitch you. Okay. It's a movie based on this story from China. There were 7 dogs that had been swiped up off the street in China where they were being taken to a illegal meat market, or not illegal, it might even be quasi-legal still. Many provinces in China still permit the harvesting of dogs, man's best friend, to be used for meat to sustain humans. It's an unthinkable thing in America, but in many countries they eat dogs. Hate to break it to you. The 7 dogs escaped, and they were found making their way home some 17 kilometers along the road, being led by a corgi. Who doesn't want to make that movie? Huh?
Somebody should be running into, I don't know which studio it is, but that there needs to be someone kicking down the door of, let's say, 20th Century Fox and being like, do we have the rights for Homeward Bound? Do we have the rights for the title Homeward Bound? Because if we stitch the name Homeward Bound to this story,
movie called Homeward Bound?
Yes, 100%. Homeward Bound. It's basically this movie. It's two dogs and a cat going on an adventure trying to get back home.
Okay.
We just found the new version of it. You have the old brand. You have the old name recognition. You can bust out the old IP, but with a new story, with this viral appeal of, oh, look, the hero Corgi bringing everyone together.
What we're going to have to do, though, is we're going to have to soften the fact they were going to be made into chicken wings.
No, you don't. Do you know the plot of some of those kids' movies from the 90s? That's like,
it's a little bit heavy. How about we make it that they were stolen off the street to be performers in some circus, not to be cooked.
Like an Air Bud situation?
Like an Air Bud situation. Yes.
You say that's too dark, but I'm pretty sure the plot of, I think it's Beethoven, I'm pretty sure the plot of that is the evil villains in Beethoven want to get Beethoven so they can use him for testing like gun ammunition.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's the plot of Beethoven. So like we have done dark before.
Well, I've been reading up on corgis. My mother and father-in-law had a corgi, Sammy. Beautiful dog. Sadly, his legs went out toward the end of his life, so he was dragging his ass around a lot of times, would bark way too much. They'd be like, Sammy, quiet, Sammy. But corgis are super smart. They're born leaders. They have big dog energy, even though they've got those short, little, stumpy legs. And so the corgi was the natural dog to lead them, even though there was mostly larger dogs than him, except for one, including a German shepherd who was injured, and they were making sure to protect the German shepherd. The corgi was freaking leading them. God bless the corgi.
Maybe we get Ryan Gosling to voice the corgi, because Ryan Gosling does have kind of corgi vibes.
Okay.
And then the German shepherd could be voiced by either Sam Shepard or J.K. Simmons, I'm thinking. You know,
you're kind of overthinking it. The voice actors, we can't spend a lot of money.
This is the best pitch you've given me, Zabe. And now you're like, no, you're overthinking it. Back to 9/11 time travel movie. I know this talking dog movie that you're pitching. Like, no, who would see a talking animal movie? No one makes money off those. Anyways, let me check the box office and see what's making money now.
It's a buddy road trip escape movie with a dog twist to it set in China. What could go wrong? It'll kill in the Chinese markets and in the U.S. markets. Be a feel-good story for everybody. All right.
Zabe, I just need to confirm that this is a sentence from the plot synopsis to Beethoven, a classic kids movie. Okay. The Newtons take Beethoven to veterinarian Dr. Herman Varnick for a routine medical exam, unaware that he is secretly involved in unethical animal experiments and is seeking large-skulled dogs to test ammunition on.
Oh, my God.
That's the premise of Beethoven, the beloved children's film of the 90s.
Beethoven being a St. Bernard, I believe.
And yeah, he's a big old Rickler.
Used to be a very likable male lead.
Charles Grodin.
Charlie Grodin, that's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes irascible, but in this movie, very sweet. And Beethoven
sometimes
was
irascible.
What do you mean?
Charles Grodin was one of the most irascible men. Like, that was his shtick.
That was his shtick. Well, that's what I mean.
So, he was just the ultimate grumpus.
But in this movie, he was adorable.
I think he was the grumpus. He's the one who's like, maybe the veterinarian should kill Beethoven.
Oh, really? Well, I got to go watch Beethoven again. Yeah. I know the dog slobbered a lot. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's like Clifford. Like, the movie with Martin Short and Charles Grodin, where it's like...
Didn't watch he's got a. I've read the book, though.
Clifford, not the big red dog. This is Clifford the insane. Martin Short is a grown adult playing a child movie.
Oh, Jesus. That's okay.
We greenlit anything in the 80s and 90s. We were sickos back then.
See, if only 9/11 had happened on 9/11/1982, then I would have a shot.
What a weird sentence to say out loud, Steve. What a weird way.
If only. Yes, I'm wishing for a horrible thing to happen sooner for my own commercial artistic desires. That's wrong. Okay. Miller, I wish you were out in Vegas with us maybe next year, but enjoy what's left of the tournament, non-Cinderellas and all. As always, you can read Matt's stuff by going to A Man About Film on Substack, and you can, of course, catch him on Twitter at A Man About Film. Long live the movies.
Viva Cinema.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.